I want to read, begin this morning reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is what the word says. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but she had no marital relations with her. He had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word this morning. You want to take your Bibles and turn over to Colossians as well this morning. The book of Colossians. Colossians 1, verses 19 to 20. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." In Birmingham, England, there is a store called Lewis's. I'm going to ask, do you know this store, Marjorie? Do you know this store, Sylvia? Lewis's? They're from England, so I'm asking. In Birmingham, England, there's a store called Lewis's, and it's a great chain store in one of the main streets, and it wanted to extend or expand. Right in the way of the extension was a little chapel of the Quakers, a Friends meeting house. Lewis has sent a letter to the leaders of the Friends meeting house saying, "Dear sirs, we wish to extend our premises. We see that your building is right in the way. We wish, therefore, to buy your building and demolish it so that we might expand our store. We will pay you any price you care to name. If you'll name a price, we will settle the matter as quickly as possible. Yours sincerely." They got a letter back by reply which said this: "Dear sirs, we in the Friends meeting house note the desire of Lewis's to extend. We observe that our building is right in your way. We would point out, however, that we have been on our site somewhat longer than you have been on yours, and we are determined to stay where we are. We are so determined to stay where we are that we will happily buy Lewis's. If, therefore, you would like to name a suitable price, we will settle the matter as quickly as possible. Signed, Cadbury." Here's the clincher. The Cadburys are the great chocolate-making, candy-making people in England. They have an enormous spread of business all over the country, and the Cadburys are Quakers. They could very well have bought Lewis's many times over. Interesting. Didn't know that. The point is this: it is not the size of the building that counts, but who signs the letter. It is not the size of the building that counts, but who signs the letter. It is not the size, location, or condition of the stable that counts, but who is in the manger. who is in the manger. We forget that it is not the size of the church that matters, but who and what is preached in the pulpit that matters. Who is worshipped most matters. Is Jesus central? What is a hymn? What is a chorus? Unless focused on Christ alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Stuart Townend and Keith Getty, in Christ alone. Could you tell from me reading whether it was a chorus or a hymn? But did it really matter? No, because it's all about Christ. He's the one that's in the manger. What matters at Christmas is not the gifts, is not the ham or turkey. That's an ongoing debate in the White House. Are we having ham or are we having turkey this year? Well, maybe we'll just have both. We often flip-flop. Well, Thanksgiving we had ham, so we should have turkey. I'm anticipating this argument. But it's not about the ham, it's not about the turkey, it's not about the traditions, it's not about the customs, and it's not even about the date that we celebrate Christmas on. But what matters at Christmas is who is in the manger, right? Who is in the manger? The world will tell you only a normal babe who became a normal man and who died a normal death. Or did he die? Maybe he's living in France and he met a wife and had kids. You know what I'm talking about if you've read the books. There's nothing special, nothing significant about Christ. But the Bible says the one who was born in the manger over 2,000 years ago was God. Luke 1:35, the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." Luke 2:10-12, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." I still have the peanut special going through my mind when I read those words, right? But those are such familiar words. And do we stop? Do we rest upon them? Born to you is God. Born to you is the Messiah, the Lord. Colossians 1:19-20, for in him, Jesus is the fullness of God, was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What dwells in the manger at Christmas is the fullness of God, the full measure of God. Not a piece, not three quarters, but God himself. This is the mystery of the incarnation. This is the mystery of the manger that we talked about last week. The thing about this is that God put everything he was and is in the manger. He went all in. Nothing was held back. No price was too much for God to be with us. All the chips are in. Emmanuel, God is with us. Everything that God is makes God God was Jesus in him in the manger. What do we say to that? Is wow sufficient? Is amazing? Does that cover it? No words that we could say, no message that I could preach would be enough to cover that. It's simply wow. This is the incarnation. This is what we celebrate. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory. The glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do I see the glory of the manger? Do I see the glory of Jesus? He is the full one. How can one be born of woman, be complete and be full? A mystery that is unthinkable, but is. That which seems impossible, but is. Nothing is impossible for God with God and in Christ. Luke 1:37, Matthew 19:26. So then, is it possible to be full? I asked the kids, have you ever been full? Well, adults, it's your turn. Have you ever been full? Have you ever been fully satisfied? Be honest. Is there a little piece that's incomplete? Is it possible to be full? Full of God? The Apostle Paul, who once persecuted and put Christians to death, encourages us with these words, Ephesians 3:14-17. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The Apostle Paul is telling us, he says, it is possible to be full of God. It's possible to be full, to have his complete fullness in a person. To be filled with the fullness of God is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to know the love of Christ, he says. To know the love of Christ is not simply an intellectual exercise, but it's an intentional physical exercise. It doesn't involve just coming to church and hearing a sermon, whether good, whether bad. But it means exercising what you hear. It means exercising what you read. It means putting the full learning circle into place. Because we tend to believe what we hear or what we say means that we've learned. But the other half of the wheel is that what we've learned, what we've heard, what we've seen, we need to put into practice. And that's full learning. To be filled with the fullness of God is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to know the love of Christ. It's not simply intellectual. It's an intentional, physical exercise. How can I know the love of Christ? How can I know this to be true? Like Zechariah questions. The angel. When the angel says, you're going to have a son and his name is going to be John. And he's going to lead people to repent. He's going to set the stage for the Lamb of God to come. Well, how do I know that that's going to be true? Do I believe that the manger happened? Do I believe the testimony of the Bible to be true? Do I have any reason to disbelieve the Bible and not the Word of God? Do I feel a pull, a working, or a drawing? If I do, it's called the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, that is drawing each person to truth, to grace, and to love. Pulling us to the manger. The manger is the fullness of faith. God born unto man to redeem men and women from sin and death. Jesus, God with us. Shepherds testified, kings glorified, wise men unified, your redemption has drawn near. Luke 21:28. The Holy Spirit works through truth, God's truth. He is truth. We seek truth, he draws those to truth. The fullness of truth is only found in the manger. True love, only found in the manger. Forgiveness, yep, only found in the manger. You can know the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one who will set you free, because God is truth and the Holy Spirit is God. Only by the truth can one be fulfilled and filled with the fullness of God. Holy Spirit is truth, Holy Spirit is God. The Spirit's job is to point us to the manger. Who is in the manger? Jesus Christ, God with us. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. Well, who does the Holy Spirit listen to? Holy Spirit listens to God the Father, listens to Jesus Christ the Son. He tells us what they're saying. He speaks what God is speaking. Holy Spirit is God. Thing about what we're looking for in the world is we're looking for truth. We're looking for justice. We're looking for peace. And the thing is, we'll never find those things unless we look at the manger. That's where peace and truth and justice is found. We will never be satisfied with our lives unless we come to peace with the one in the manger. We will never be complete. We will never be full. We will try to manufacture peace by pursuing riches, power, relationships, and significance, but only one provides true peace, the one born in the manger, Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of God, complete, born, come to earth to redeem men, women, reignite men and women from the pain of mistaken choices, listless lives, and empty purpose. Does the miracle of the manger dwell within us? Within you, within me? Ephesians 4:11-13, and he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. We're measured by Christ's fullness. For we have all received favor after favor from his fullness, from his abundance, from his completeness, from Jesus being born as a babe in a manger. The question is whether or not we will acknowledge his favor, his grace, and come to him for true fullness. John 1:16, indeed we have all received grace after grace from his fullness. His fullness fills us. The Holy Spirit draws you and me to the manger to take a look, to marvel, to consider, to follow the one sent to give us purpose, redemption, and life. Do we see the fullness of God in the manger? God put everything he is in the manger. Nothing was held back. The fullness of God dwelt in the manger. How many of us would do that? With a mad king after you that wants to put you to death, that is seeking your life. How many of us would put all the chips in on the manger? Nothing was held back. even though his life would be taken, and he knew it. He didn't hold back. The fullness of God dwelt in the manger. This is the King of love God provided on Christmas Eve for the redemption of men. Do I give everything I am to God? Because he gave everything to us. That's why Jesus is the greatest gift of all. God put everything he is in the manger. The size, the location, or condition of the stable does not matter. But who is in the manger matters. May the Lord have blessing to his word this morning.